All right, let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. Matthew, first book of the New Testament, chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. A little story about John the Baptist. And sounds like you're already there, so if you're there, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Now, let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Again, I'm reading out of an NIV translation. The first 12 verses of chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what a wonderful and great story about John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. Father, there's some things that are mentioned here that are going to be key words that we as Christians need to learn and understand in our lives. So, Father, as the Scripture speaks to us, Father, I am also praying that the message that I'm about to give will help support the words and the things that we all need to learn and understand according to this Scripture. Father, it is a privilege to be able to stand in front of these people as your spokesperson here this morning. Thank you for bringing me here to this church. I pray that the words that I'm about to say will be holy and pleasing to you, and words that will help each and every one of us understand the Scripture before us. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today, we are in our fourth and our final week in the sermon series on discipleship. What is discipleship? It's the process of growing in the wisdom and understanding of this, God's Word. We love our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
His name is Jesus Christ, and we want to follow Him. Amen?
Amen?
We do. We want to learn more about Him. We want to become more like Him. And if that is what's inside of us, that is discipleship, to become more like Christ-like and the desire to be more Christ-like. Just a real brief recap of the first 3 weeks. Week number one, we learned that in every church or in most churches, we will find wheat and we will find tares. The wheat represent true believers, true disciples, and the tares, unbelievers, false disciples. And we concluded this, that only those who represent the wheat are the true disciples of Christ. These others are false believers, false disciples, apostates. In week number two, we learned that there is a cost. If we're going to be wheat, there's a cost to following Jesus. A true disciple is willing to count the cost and then pay that cost, whatever it is. We said this, a true disciple is willing to pay, sell everything, and is willing to give up everything and pay that debt to have Jesus in his or her life. And last week we said this, that a true disciple does not want to go back to Egypt. In other words, the true disciple does not want to go back to their old sinful ways anymore. The true disciple does not have one foot planted in the promised land, but wants to keep the other one planted over here in Egypt. The certainty and the comfort of that former lifestyle that we led. A true disciple wants to be totally and fully over here, going toward the promised land. So how should we end this here series today? I say we end it with one word that truly represents the true believer, the true disciple. The one word that a born-again believer takes serious in his or her journey in discipleship. So what is that word? I'll tell you in a minute. First, I'm going to tell you just a little story, okay? A little story time with Pastor Mike. This one's real quick. On March the 7th of this year, I became a Facebook user. Yes. And I'll be honest with you. I like Facebook. I probably spend way too much time on Facebook. But that's okay. Facebook teaches me an awful lot about other people. What do I learn about other people? I learn a lot of good things about other people. And I learn a lot of not so good things about other people. Another thing that I learned about being on Facebook, I learned the social and the political and the religious issues that people support. And these three are always hot topics that come through my news feed. For instance, one hot topic that always comes up is the upcoming 2016 presidential elections next year and the candidates that are running for that office. You quickly learn who likes which candidates. Another hot topic that seems to be here lately is something called Planned Parenthood and their influence in America. That is a sermon for another day, trust me. But the one that always seems to find its way into my iPad is the issue of sexual orientation. Let me make this very short and very biblically correct. Three statements. One, marriage is between a man and a woman. Matthew 19, verse 4. Amen? Number two, sex outside of marriage is wrong. Hebrews 13, 4. Amen. Number three, sexual relations between two people of the same sex is wrong. Romans 1, 26 and 27. Amen. It's not that difficult. However, I find it extremely difficult to believe that I have Christian Facebook friends, none of who are in here, other people, who do not understand these three simple biblical facts. And to make matters worse, these same quote-unquote Christian friends of mine, they want to support the political candidates come for the upcoming elections who also have no clue about these three biblical facts. And it makes someone like me wonder these two things. Number one, what is their church teaching them? And or, number two, what do they want to believe? Because let's face it, what they're being taught from the pulpit and what they want to believe might be two different things. They might have a pastor up here and this guy is preaching the absolute truth out of God's word, but that's not what they want to hear. So, here are some basic facts about true discipleship. And we're going to end with this. If you are on the path of true discipleship with Christ, we must know and understand these certain things. God's Word, our Bible that we have in front of us, it's both informational and it's transformational, right? As a matter of fact, it's written right there on the back of your bulletin. Here at Beech Grove Church, Christian Church, we teach that the Bible, the Word of God, is both informational and transformational. Do you have your bulletins with you? Turn on the back side of the bulletin. And it's written there. It's there every week. Because we're going to kind of say this together. We don't have to read. Let's read the whole thing. Ready? Starting with here at Beech Grove. Ready? Here at Beech Grove Christian Church, we teach that the Bible, the Word of God, is both informational and transformational. Informational in that we learn wonderful historic truths about God and His people. Transformational in the fact that God's Word changes lives. Okay, we'll stop right there. That God's Word does what?
Changes
lives. Does God's Word change lives? Okay. Amen. It changes lives. Scripture changes lives. That's why you need to hear the Word of God to have your life changed. It's transformational. Yeah, do we learn facts? Yeah, we learn a lot of good facts. As a matter of fact, I don't know how many of you have been reading some of this Old Testament reading throughout the week. I'll be honest with you. I've been reading because I feel like if I'm going to ask you to do it, I better do it myself. There's some really bizarre things going on in the Old Testament. You know, there is. David, oh my goodness. I'm glad he was a man after God's own heart, because this guy does some crazy things. Wow. Anyways, but it's informational. I learned these facts about David. But it's transformational in the fact that it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Amen? Romans 1:16. But look, for the remainder of this message, let's focus on transformational. What happens in the life of a true disciple? It was the very first point that we had over in Sunday school this morning. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, that if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He or she is a new creation. The old has gone, bye-bye, and the new is here. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the old Mike isn't here anymore. The old Phyllis is gone. The old Earlene is gone. And now we're a new person. We're a new creation in Christ over here. So what does that mean? If we're a new creation in Christ, if we are truly in Christ, what does that mean? Let's go to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians here, chapter 4. And I apologize to you. Actually, I had three fill-in-the-blanks, and I forgot to put them in the bulletin here this morning. So I'll just kind of read them to you, and you can jot down whatever you want to jot down. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at what is so transformational about people who are in Christ. Ephesians 4, and I'm going to read verses 20 through 24. So what does this say? It says this, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him according with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." What's the key word in there? Attitude. The key word is attitude. This new self that we're going to have is going to have an attitude to be like Christ. True disciples will have the right attitude in their minds of a godly change of something that has happened. If you're a true disciple, you know you're a new creation, and you have that attitude of that new creation. So that's the first thing we need to remember. Not only are we a new creation, but we have the right attitude towards that. So where's the second place we're going to go? Just a couple books to the right. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 10. Colossians 3, 5 through 10, and it says this, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practice and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. The old self with its practices, and put on the new self, which has been what? Has been renewed in what? The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not only do we have an attitude of Jesus Christ, now we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That we must know that we need to turn into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We have the knowledge of that now. We're a new creation, the right attitude, the right knowledge. And then the third and final thing that's going to be done, we're going to go back to the book of Romans. And we know exactly where we're going here. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read the first two verses of that wonderful book. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 says this: Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. The key word there, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Two key words. We're transformed by how? Our mind is renewed. How is it renewed? First, we have a right attitude about Christ. Second, we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then with all that, we are transformed because our mind is now being renewed. I might still have the mind of the old Mike, because there's still a lot of old Mike that's in here. It doesn't all go away. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 16 tells me this, that I have the mind of Christ. At least that should be my goal. I want to be like Him. So the true disciple has a new attitude, a renewed knowledge of the Word of God, and a transformed mind. So what does that look like in my daily life, in your daily life? I will say this about as simply as I can say it. Well, the bad things that we used to like doing, well, we just don't want to do anymore. And the good things that we should have been doing, but we haven't been doing, we now feel like doing. How simple is that? That's like childlike, isn't it? The bad things that you were doing, can't do them no more. And the good things that you should have been doing, we want to do them. It's a new you. It's a transformed you. And if some of your party friends just don't want to hang around you anymore, praise the Lord. That's one of the first things I found out when I got saved. A lot of my party friends just didn't like me anymore. Hey, that's okay. I found new friends. I party with Beach Grovers now. And by the way, on the day of homecoming, we are having fried chicken, okay? Now that, my friends, now that's a party, okay? But you know, you're on the right path. Some of those secular, worldly friends of yours that wanted to do this and do that, you just don't want to do that no more, so you're kind of over here and you kind of feel alone, but that's okay. You have new friends, right? A new group of friends. I said earlier that there's one word that a born-again believer takes seriously on his or her journey in discipleship. So what is that word? I'm going to give it to you right now. It's a word that sums up what a transformed mind is all about. It's a word that will give you a clue who the real disciples are versus who are the fakes. What is that word? The word is this. Go back to John the Baptist. Repentance. Repentance. Let's go back to what we learned week number one. Repentance is foundational for those who represent the wheat. Week number two, repentance is foundational for those who are willing to count the cost and pay the cost for discipleship. Week number three, last week, repentance is foundational for those who never want to go back to Egypt, back to their old ways. And getting back, let's turn this whole thing full circle now. Let's get back to what I said about Facebook and all this sexual orientation stuff. I say this, you cannot be a Christian if you are leading a lifestyle of homosexuality, because there is no repentance. Amen. Let me say it again. You cannot be a Christian if you are leading a lifestyle of homosexuality because there is no repentance. Now, I will say this. If you are caught up in that sin and you hate that sin and you want to be out of that sin and you want to turn away from that sin, that's a good path to be on. God will forgive you, but you need to repent. And repent means what? We turn away from that sin. That gay man or that lesbian woman, they love, so many of them that I have met, they love their sinful lifestyle. And that, my friends, is not the result of a transformed mind. If you have a transformed mind, you are repentant of your sins. Amen? Amen? There are things that I do, things that you do, that we are repentant of. We just don't want to do those things. Stuck in this sin of homosexuality or any sin, and loving that sin and not wanting to get out of that sin with no repentance is not a sign of a true believer. Matthew 7, verse 22. Remember those who come before the Lord and they say this. Well, Lord, didn't we do this? And 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 I'll paraphrase Jesus. You never repented, buddy. Sorry. You were never sorry for that sin that you did. What did John the Baptist do? That's why I read this here this morning. John the Baptist, his purpose. He was a forerunner for the Christ. And he did this. He baptized with water for what? Repentance. Because if you don't repent, you can't come to Christ. Because what does Jesus say in Mark chapter 1, verse 15? Repent and believe the good news. Repentance. That's what the walk of a disciple is all about. I repent. I'm a new creature in Christ. Yeah, there's the old Mike over there, but I don't want to be over there anymore. Sometimes I get caught up in this stupid old sin over here, but the new creation in Christ over here always says this, Lord, I don't want to go back there. But there are people who love it over here, but they claim they're over here. And the two just don't go together, my friends. Don't go together. If you're not repentant, then I really question your discipleship. I really question your Christianity. I was talking to a friend who was talking to a friend, and this friend of his said, well, but God understands what I am. God wants you to change. Amen? He doesn't want you to stay over here. You know, there are some people who want to be over here, but they love to stay over here with that excuse. God understands what I am. Oh, He understands. I'm this sinful person. No, He doesn't. He wants you to be repentant of that and come on over here and be a true disciple. I can't buy that excuse. That God understands my sin. God wants to deliver you from your sin, my friend. That's what God wants to do. God does not like any of our sins. Mine, yours, anybody's. True discipleship. We have to make some decisions here, my friends. We need to decide this. Do you want to be a wheat? A wheat? Is that such a thing? Do we want to be wheat? Or do we want to be tares? We have to decide. And if you want to be wheat, then you've got to make a second decision. Are you willing to pay the cost, count the cost, and then pay the cost to be the wheat? And then if you do, you need to make another decision. Do you want to go back to Egypt or not? Because if you're over here, you can't go back there. And then a fourth decision. Are you ready, really ready, to be transformed? Because when you're transformed, that means you are repentant. The sign of a true born-again believer. We don't wallow in where we had been. Transformed. Praise the Lord, I'm transformed. How about you? Transformed? Amen. Because that is exactly what's going to happen to any person who wants to trust his or her life to Jesus Christ. We got to take discipleship seriously. But the good news is, we're going to be transformed. And I am so glad that I'm transformed, and I bet you are too. Let's go to God in prayer.